Welcome back to Inside Agriculture. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. McCarran Farm Talk recently talked to the NDSU Extension weed specialist Joe Eichley about the weeds in the field this spring and how to control them.
So right now, you know, a lot of soybeans have really gone in the ground over the last week and starting this week as well. So that's one of our bigger crops we definitely want to get a pre on. And we're going after our driving weeds, such as common ragweed, water hemp. Some lamb's quarter is one that we can have a lot of effective options, but a lot of the best options are any of our pre-emergent herbicides for lamb's quarter. So as long as we're getting our pre on and can get some rain activation, we should have a pretty good head start against those three weeds there, definitely.
Does everybody have an issue with lamb's quarter, or is it more geographically centered in certain spots?
Lamb's quarter is pretty ubiquitous. We can find it in just about any field. It's really one of those that we'll see year in and year out, that if we don't get a pre-on, then sometimes we can have difficulty, if I'm thinking of soybeans, to clean it up with glyphosate or glufosinate. It's just a tougher weed to control post-emergence, but any one of our pre's does a pretty decent job on it. So it's basically in every field, and we get questions every year, but it's in the grand scheme of things, compared to something like water hemp or ragweed, it's a little bit easier to control.
Good. All right, but there are weeds which are unique to each crop, and as you mentioned, soybeans are just going into ground gangbusters right now. Corn hopefully is well on its way to being done. We'll find out here shortly what USDA says as far as planting progress. But in the world, let's start with corn. What management systems, weed management systems, are starting to get used up a little bit, whether it's you know, some of the traits which the weeds are starting to outsmart?
Yeah, and if I focus in on corn a little bit, some of the ones we're probably most concerned about would be our also the newer technologies in soybeans, so dicamba and 2,4-D. So we've basically been able to use dicamba for a lot of years in corn, basically since we've had corn and dicamba together, and so that's been pretty effective for us. In corn, able to tank mix it, especially with things like atrazine, and get good activity. And so as we start getting more concerned about some dicamba resistance in soybeans, you start looking at our usage in corn, and hopefully we're not slipping too much there.
Again, that's Joe Eichley, the NDSU Extension weed specialist. In just about a day, we'll have a little better idea for the probable size of this season's crops and the market situation for those crops. This is Gary Crawford from the USDA.
This coming Wednesday's USDA Supply and Demand Report will not only be forecasting supplies, exports, stocks, and prices for old crop corn, soybeans, etc., but for the first time, we'll do the same for the new crop now being planted. USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski says, of course, there's a lot of uncertainty about this, especially about the size of this new crop, since weather will play the biggest role. But he says forecasting demand and use of the upcoming crop, that's a little bit easier.
We do have the export sales data that often extends well out into the new crop year, and that gives us some indication that demand is likely to stay relatively strong going forward.
We also have a pretty good idea of the size of competing crops being harvested in South America, and we have several trade agreements with other countries which tend to eliminate wild swings in export demand. So this upcoming supply and demand report should be interesting. It'll be out Wednesday noon Eastern Time. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This is Inside Agriculture.